How many of you have had someone say to you, or maybe you've even said it yourself to somebody else, God has an amazing calling on your life? Does that sound familiar? God has an amazing calling on your life. How does that make you feel? Good, awesome. So sometimes when it's happened to me in the past, there's been times where I felt really needed. I felt seen, maybe special. And then other times when I'm a little bit more cynical, I might be like, how do you know? Like, is God telling you something he hasn't told me? Right? But we say this thing, God has an amazing calling on your life. And one of the things that I often hear in Christian circles, especially among young people, is a desire to find the answer to this question, what is God's calling on my life? A desire to find the answer to the question, what is God's calling on my life? And I can't tell you how many times I've been there, where I'll be in my prayer closet in the mornings, and it seems like my regular prayer every morning is, God, what's your calling on my life? Seeking God for what he's calling me to. And it can feel overwhelming at times, especially when it doesn't seem like God's saying anything. You ever been there where you're praying, you want direction, and it doesn't seem like God's really saying anything or leading you in a specific direction? So today I want to talk about calling and share some thoughts and some studies that I've done around this topic. The topic of calling has been something that's been on my mind and my heart for the past 3 months. There were a couple different times where I wanted to speak about it, but I didn't really feel like it was ready. And now I feel like as I've kind of processed through it, studied it a little bit more, it's been something that's been encouraging to me that I want to share with you. And the goal today is not to answer the question for you personally, what is God's calling on your life? I think that'd be great if I could just point each person out and be like, this is what God's telling you and you and you, right? That's not what today is going to be, unfortunately. But hopefully today we can get clarity and have a proper mindset in how we engage the topic of calling, how we engage the topic of calling. I think when we ask the question, what's God's calling on my life, without clarity and without a proper mindset, it can produce a result that's the opposite of its intended purpose. What maybe felt like purpose before, it can produce something else. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But to start, for clarity's sake, we have to start off by defining what is calling. What does it mean to have a calling? Because calling might mean something different to different people, depending on the context that the word is used in, depending on your understanding of what it means, depending on maybe the church culture that you grew up in. So let's start off by looking at three of the common ways that the word calling is used. Okay, three common ways that it's used. And these definitions, or I call them types of calling, they're not necessarily based on word studies from the New Testament, but rather based on typical usages. So how we tend to use them based on our understanding. Does that make sense? So three different ways the word calling is used, and then we're gonna hone in specifically on one of them. Okay, so the first one is the passion or the giftedness calling. I've heard this calling defined as this. Maybe you've heard this before. Your calling lies at the intersection of three important areas: your strengths, interests, and what benefits others. When these three forces are all at play, you are doing what you were born to do. Right? It's a passion or a giftedness calling. You might be asked to answer the question, what do you enjoy and what does the world need? What do you enjoy? What does the world need? When you only enjoy something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's your calling. It could just be a hobby. If you're meeting a need, but you don't enjoy it, it might not be a calling. It might just be a job. But God's calling on your life is something that God places inside of you in the form of your strengths and interests to be a benefit to other people. So that's one way that calling, that we might use the word calling. And this kind of calling, it's a process of discovery, right? I never knew that I had a gift to teach until I actually taught. In fact, unless people pushed me into that position, I would have never done it because I was afraid to speak in front of people. I'm an introvert at heart. Like, it's never something I would naturally step into or be like, hey, let me try my hand at this. So there was a process of discovery for me. I think all of us, we're gonna have processes of discovery in our life when it comes to our gifts. So sometimes when someone says, God has an amazing calling on your life, it's not always meant to communicate a prophetic mandate that God has on your life, but rather just to say, hey, I see giftings in you. I see a desire to pursue God, humility in you, and God's gonna use that mightily for his glory. That's what we might mean sometimes when we say God has an amazing calling on your life. So that's the first type that I see. The second one is the general Christian calling. A general calling is something that every single one of us as Christians are called to. Many of the times, that you see the word calling used in the New Testament, it's referring to the general Christian calling. That's what's being referred to. So to give some examples of that, let me read some scripture verses on calling. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 31, through 31. Paul says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So he says, consider your calling. In other words, it's our calling to salvation, our calling to righteousness, our calling to holiness. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, "To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power." In other words, we're called to holiness. We are called to good works. Hebrews 3:1, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." It's a calling to salvation, one of belonging to a heavenly father. Ephesians 4:1-4, last one, says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call." In other words, it's a call to sonship, a call to unity, a call to holiness. So we're called to these things. We're called to make disciples. We're called to love one another. We're called to walk by the Spirit. We're called to servanthood. These are basic things that all of us are called to as Christians. We may have different giftings. We may have different strengths and talents, but we're all called to this basic life as a Christian. And in one sense, this calling has much more to do with who you are than what you're to do. This is who we are. I am a son or daughter of God. And because of that, I do the things that I do. I am saved by faith. I am holy and set apart in Christ Jesus. I am part of the body of Christ. So there's this very real sense of identity and belonging that's involved with the general calling. Okay, so you have your giftedness calling, you have your general calling, and then thirdly, is the specific divine calling. In my conversations, this is what most people think of when they think of calling, is what is that one specific thing that God is calling me to? What is the one specific thing that God's calling me to? A divine calling is something that's totally orchestrated by God to use you as a vessel to carry out a particular role at a particular place for his purposes. So it's unlike the general Christian calling in the sense that not everyone's gonna be called to do it. It's unlike the giftedness calling in the sense that what God is calling you to might not always involve aspects of your strengths and giftings, but quite possibly even your weaknesses. It's a very specific and unique to you role that may or may not always align with your strengths and experiences. So you have Pastor David Wilkerson, who's the founder of Times Square Church Ministries as a whole, the founder of this church, of this school. He's a white country boy from Pennsylvania. And God called him to the gangs of New York City. Complete opposite of any experience that of his life. It's complete opposite. You wouldn't think to send this man to the gangs of New York City, yet this is a call that God placed on his life. He was called to do it, and we can see the fruit of that ministry today. It's like Moses. Moses was called to deliver the Israelites from the oppression of Egypt. Saul, or later Paul, was confronted on the road to Damascus, and he was given this divine revelation and mandate. And even today, like you hear pastors, or it doesn't have to be pastors, but commonly pastors will say, God called me to this specific church in this specific place to pastor it. Or you might say, God's called me specifically to this place. So specific divine calling, it's something that's unique to you. And it's this last type of calling that I want to hone in on. Because like I said, I think that this is the type of calling most people think of when they're thinking of what is God calling me to? What's that unique thing that God's calling me to? So with that understanding going forward, the title of my message this morning is Calling is About Obedience, Not Identity. We're using that third definition of calling, all right? Calling is about obedience, not identity. Let me explain what I mean by that. And this is important because problems arise when we come with certain mindsets or maybe even certain expectations surrounding the divine specific call. Let me give you three problems in how we understand and engage God's calling, his divine calling sometimes. Problem number one is this: prioritizing searching for the divine calling. Prioritizing searching for the divine calling. So we're familiar with the problem of running from God's call, right? You have Jonah, God called him to go to Nineveh, and he knew what God was asking him to do, and he ran from it. That's running from the divine calling. But what's wrong with prioritizing searching for God's call on my life? You know, going back to the original quote, God has an amazing call on your life. I think oftentimes it's said to convey this sense of purpose, right? So naturally, people spend time searching for the divine call. What's that thing God's calling me to? Well, we'll ask and pray about it. God, what are you calling me to in my life? What's your call on my life? We'll ask others, how do I know what God's call on my life is? Maybe at times we even live in fear. What if I miss God's calling? You ever been afraid you're gonna miss God's calling? Like, what if I miss it? And if we're not careful, our lives begin to center around searching for this specific calling on our life as if our purpose in life or identity depends on it. My identity depends on finding this specific calling. And what started out conveying this strong sense of purpose ends up leaving us with a crushing pressure. I have to try to figure this out. I have to try to find this. And how many people stress themselves out trying to figure out what this specific calling is on their life? Praying over it, God, what's your calling? What's your calling? And if you think about it in human terms, I don't look at my phone and ask, when is my dad gonna call? I just pick it up when he does, right? I just answer. When God calls, I answer. But sometimes we can get so worked up I need to search for this call, and God might be there saying, listen, I'm not calling you to anything specific right now. Be a good Christian. Be a good husband. Be a good wife. Be a good parent. Pursue me with all of your heart. Raise a godly family. The work that you're doing right now that you feel like doesn't really serve a whole lot of purpose, do that unto me. Be a good Christian in your context. Don't get so caught up in seeking out your call. Seek the God who calls you, and you'll end up where you need to be. Amen? Don't get so caught up in seeking out your call. Seek the God who calls you and you'll end up where you need to be. Instead of spending so much time searching for a unique calling, just pray, God, let your will be done in my life. So the first problem is the prioritization of searching for the divine calling. The second problem is universalizing the experience of the divine call. So not everyone has the same experience. Sometimes a calling happens in a moment, like when Jesus appeared to Saul, and it was a moment, and he was called to something. At other times, the experience is one where the calling kind of unfolds over the process of several years as God is moving you in a certain direction. And at times, divine calls may come through invitation or through divinely ordered steps. So an example of this is what I call the foresight versus the hindsight calling. Foresight versus hindsight. So foresight. Most people, when they think of God's call on their life, they think of it in terms of a foresight calling. Foresight is a revelation of a future action. So Moses is an example of a foresight calling. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he called him to go back to Egypt to deliver his people. He's telling him, hey, this is what I'm calling you to do. You can read about that in Exodus 3, 7 through 10. As Moses is standing before the burning bush, it says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And here it is. He says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. It is a foresight calling. He's telling him, this is what's gonna happen. This is what I'm calling you to. That's how we tend to think of God's calling on our life. It's gonna be this revelation of what I need to do in the future. But there's also hindsight calling. So hindsight means a revelation or understanding of a situation or event only after it has happened. So one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Joseph. Joseph is a great example of a hindsight calling. If you look at the story of Joseph, you have to conclude that Joseph lived out God's calling on his life. That there was something that God had planned for Joseph. There's no denying that he lived in God's calling for his life, but if you look at the way that it unfolded, it was completely different than Moses' calling. God didn't appear to Joseph and call him to Egypt like he did Moses. His brother sold him there. Joseph wasn't called to come to prison. His master Potiphar sent him there on false accusation. God didn't call Joseph to Pharaoh's courts. Pharaoh summoned him there. But what you see is Joseph was able to look back over his life as a whole and say, God's the one that ordered my steps. God is the one that brought me here so that I might bring salvation to my family. See, once it made sense looking back. And so you have Joseph in Genesis 45. He's standing before his brothers and he says, come near to me, please. He said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. Here it is. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. See, he was able to look back on his life and be like, God is the one that brought me here. It was a completely different type of calling than what Moses experienced. Now, Joseph did have times in his life where he had dreams. There was this sense that God was up to something, but it was never super clear. So you have the foresight and the hindsight calling, but whether foresight or hindsight, God knows how to sovereignly order your steps. That's the bottom line. God knows how to sovereignly order your steps. The divine call might look different from person to person. So the first problem, prioritizing searching for the divine calling. The second one, universalizing the experience of the divine call. Then problem number three is conflating or combining the calling types. So I gave three definitions of how we tend to use the word calling. The word calling can get thrown around casually at times, and we lose clarity when we throw the divine calling, the giftedness calling, the general calling in the same bag, and we mix it up, and then we pull it out. And this is our understanding of what calling means. And what ends up happening when we combine these definitions and there's not clarity in what we're talking about is inevitably you begin to over-spiritualize the Christian life and stall in your individual giftings. You over-spiritualize the Christian life and you stall in your individual giftings. For some, to make any decision without a clear and undeniable indication from God is to operate outside of his will and calling for their life. So how might this play out? You might say, I don't just go to church. God has to lead me to a specific one. And until he reveals that right church to me, I remain unplugged from the local body. No, we were commanded to go to church. We're told we need each other. It might be God has given me giftings, but until he reveals to me how to specifically use them, even if it's in the body of Christ, I remain unengaged. It might be never wanting to take any initiative unless you're led by special revelation from the Holy Spirit. It might mean never being satisfied and engaged with what's happening in the present because there's always some big future call you're waiting to receive. It might mean instead of dealing with conflict and confrontation in a godly Christian way, you always run from it and say, God is calling me elsewhere. And that's what happens when we begin to combine the calling types, and it brings confusion. So what's the point of all this? What's the bottom line? Here's what I want us to get out of this message. It's that we can be free to live in the incredible purpose of the general Christian calling. That's who you are in Christ. Your greatest purpose in life and your identity, it's already been realized in Christ. You don't need a personal, thus saith the Lord, to have purpose in your life. As a Christian, we already have everything, right? So live in the peace and in the joy of the general calling of just being a Christian. Let me end with four quick application points in how we can engage God's calling then going forward. Number one, practice but stay prayerful. You don't need permission to operate in your giftings. God's given you a gift, operate in it. Now, there might be times where God asks you to lay something down for a season. I know Pastor Tim Williams, he was the pastor here for the longest time. He felt God asked him to lay down guitar for several years, and in obedience, he did that. There may be times where something like that happens, but as a general rule of thumb, you don't need permission to operate in your giftings. Live in the incredible purpose of the general Christian calling. Someone put it this way. They said the calling to follow Christ lies at the root of every other calling. The calling to just follow Christ lies at the root of every other calling. So follow Christ in your context. Live how his word tells you how to live. Grow in your relationship with him. Use your giftings for his glory, but always be open to what God might be saying. We're told to pray about everything. It's okay to practice. It's okay to act. Just be prayerful. Secondly, plan but stay pliable. It's okay to act. It's okay to take initiative. It's okay to plan. But we always need to be flexible when the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in a new direction. I love this story in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas, there's this clear mandate. They're to preach the gospel. And they're going all around preaching the gospel. But there comes this one spot in Acts 16 where it says that the the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak the word in Asia. And it goes on to say that when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. In other words, they were taking action. They were going for it, but they were flexible enough to be like, when the Holy Spirit nudged them a different direction, they went a different direction. So plan, but stay pliable. Don't get tunnel vision with your plans in life. Daily invite God to interrupt whatever you have planned and then be flexible enough to respond to it. Thirdly, be obedient to what he last told you. What's the last thing God told you? Just be obedient to that. If God called you to a place, let him be the one to call you out. When the exciting newness of something wears off, it's easy to start looking for something new, to start asking God, what's your calling again? Because it's not exciting anymore. What once felt like amazing purpose now begins to feel redundant and familiar. That's okay. Just be obedient to what he last told you to do. And then fourthly, and this one's important, involve others in the process. I've told someone before that it's incredible how often God is wrong. Not wrong in actuality, but wrong in the way that people talk about him, right? God told me to do this. 1 week later, it's the complete opposite. God told me to do this now. It's like, well, did God change his mind? Did he make a mistake? And you, sometimes the calling of God becomes our excuses. It can be so hard at times to discern personal emotion from God's leading. But thankfully, our Christian life is not meant to be lived in the vacuum of me and the Holy Spirit. We were given the body of Christ. There's a story of a woman who was watching the local news, and on the news, there was a driver on an interstate that was going the wrong direction. He was on the wrong side of the interstate. And so she called her husband frantically because it was the route that he took. And she told him, honey, please be careful. Some idiot is driving on the wrong side of the interstate. And he said, honey, it's not just one idiot. There's hundreds of them. If everyone around you is always saying something different concerning your calling or God's leading, most likely you aren't hearing right. Have people in your life, whether it's a close friend or a pastor or people that you trust, process with them. Involve others in the process. What is God laying on your heart? Talk with people. It doesn't need to be a you and the Holy Spirit situation. So practice, but stay prayerful. Plan, but stay pliable. Be obedient to what he last told you and involve others in the process. Your greatest purpose in life and your identity has already been realized in Christ. Let's live in that freedom. When God calls you to something, simply just step out in faith and in obedience. I don't have to have a personal thus saith the Lord to have purpose and identity in my life. We already have that, and we can live in that freedom. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your call. God, we thank you for the gifts that you've put inside of us that we can simply operate in for your glory. We thank you for ultimately that general Christian calling of an identity in Christ and who we are. God, I pray that that would be the driver forward. God, that as we seek you in everything in our life, God, that it doesn't become about trying to find this specific call. If you call, God, I pray that we would be in the position to hear and to answer that call. God, but that our first mandate is just to pursue you. God, and when we do that, God, we're gonna end up in the right place. If there's anybody that's been feeling that pressure or feeling less than because you see other people getting certain callings or mandates and you just feel like you're left behind, God, I pray that you would remind us that we have incredible purpose and identity already in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're in this room and you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if you've never given your heart to God, your greatest purpose awaits you. Your greatest purpose starts with, as Jesus put it, being born again. So how do I start that process? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, we say it's as easy as ABC. Being born again is ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner in need of a savior, that there's issues that you can't fix on your own. You can't get to heaven by yourself. You need an intervention. And after we admit that, B, we believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that when we place our trust in him, we receive that forgiveness that he offers us. We receive that freedom from sin, that freedom from shame. And we can walk in that. And then C is confess. This is just saying, Jesus is Lord of my life. This is the flexible part of my life. I can plan, I can take action, but hey, if God wants to interrupt anything in my life, whatever it is, I invite the Holy Spirit to interrupt whatever it is in my life, and I'm gonna live in obedience to him. That's confessing Jesus is Lord of my life. Whatever he says is what I'm gonna listen to. Wherever he says to go is where I'm gonna go. The Bible says that when you do these three things, you admit and you believe and you confess, the Bible says that when we do that in the purity of heart, we're born again. And so if you've never made that decision and you wanna commit your life to Christ this morning, I'm gonna say this prayer. I just invite you to say it after me. And let's just all say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And the greatest purpose on your life has only just begun. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you after service at our Connect table, give you some next steps on your walk and your journey with Christ. But thank God that when we've committed to him, we have all the purpose, we have all the identity that we need already. It's already ours. Let's live in that freedom. Amen. Amen.